welcome to the Manifest with Mini weekly family meeting, aka the podcast. If you have ever worried, why do I keep doubting myself, even though I know deep down I am made for big things, you are not alone. Every week I'm blending the practical and the spiritual, the masculine and the feminine, so that you can manifest your life and business of complete freedom. So for all my bougie spiritual souls out there, you are exactly where you need to be right now. Hello, today's episode is a little bit different. I'm going to do a general Q&A with various questions that I've got on the topic of manifestation, of course. So let's jump right in. First of all, this is a really interesting question about manifesting love, and I think it applies to a common set of events that happens when we're manifesting anything. So I'm manifesting love, but a lot of temptations are coming up right now. Should we really stay on path and wait for that forever love and not get sidetracked at all? Or is it all part of the journey? So will those extracurricular things that you know are not really that husband you're manifesting, you know, a little fling, will those things actually affect your manifestation journey, or is it okay to indulge with them along the path? So when this question comes up, it makes me think about also something that happens a lot with manifesting your career. You know, you want a certain income, you want a certain job or whatever, but you get these other temptations. So first of all, anytime that you start to manifest something, a common thing that's going to happen is you're going to get temptations to settle for less than what you're asking for, or you're going to get pressures coming up in your life that even push you to settle for less or make you doubt whether it's going to be possible. So if you want to be one of those people that you're in awe of how they seem to just get the best things always, maintaining those standards are going to be a big part of that. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. So the second thing is, these temptations are going to come up perfectly designed for what is tempting for you. What is tempting for another person might not be tempting at all for you, right? If you like younger guys that have a six pack that are not ready to commit, have mother issues, if that's what you have like this track record of, then that's what's going to start popping up for you. So within that, you get to ask yourself, what is a lesson for me in this? And so you can write down, why do I want to do this? I think all of manifestation is, and like uncovering how to be a better manifester, like unleashing your master manifestation power, is getting yourself closer and closer and closer to the truth. And that's what we're doing all the time. And anything that's taking you away from the truth is not helping you manifest. So asking yourself, why am I being tempted to this? Why is this attractive to me? When you get your answers there, ask yourself, which part of me wants this? You have a lot of different parts within your being, and some of them are parts that are going to take you towards your dream life, and some of those parts are parts that are trying to protect you from things you experience in your childhood. Some of those parts are kind of those tempting, that devil on your shoulder that's going to lead you to the worst place in your life, but all of them are parts of you, and you're going to be able to connect in with all of their desires. Just because you can connect into the desire of this part of you doesn't mean that it's your soul's true desire. So once you uncover, why is this tempting to me, then you can ask yourself, which part of me is where this desire is coming from? This list of attraction that I have here, all these reasons why this is tempting to me, all the reasons why this would be fun, it would be easy, whatever it feels like, which part of me is saying that? Which part of me wants to do that? When you identify which part of you this is coming from, you're going to see very clearly what road that's going to lead you down. Is this an immature part? Is this a mature part? Is this a soul part? Is this a really ego-based part? And from there, you are going to get to make the decision. Is it all part of the process? Is it all part of the journey? Yeah, it is. There's nothing you can do that is going to be wrong. There is no decision that you can do that's going to be wrong, because what is wrong? In a quantum perspective, like, that duality of good and bad and wrong and right doesn't even exist. However, we are here in this on this earth, and to you, there probably is a good version and a bad version of where you want your life to be leading you to, right? And so from there, you're going to be able to just say, okay, do I want to follow this path towards its desire? Does that serve me? Do I actually want to do that? And so it's actually just a logical question of, like, okay, do I want to follow that path, or do I not want to follow that path? That takes away the, is this right? Is this wrong? It takes away that kind of feeling of, if you do the quote unquote wrong thing, that the universe is then going to punish you, because that's not going to happen at all. The universe isn't sending you that test to see if you are good enough, to see if you're holy enough, to see if you're pure enough to, turn down that one night stand or whatever it is, and then it's going to punish you and not give you your soulmate if you make the wrong decision. It's just that you have free will. You have that blessed ability that other beings, like animals, don't have, to choose that. And so the universe is not going to make you go down. It's not going to push you towards the quote unquote good or the right thing. You get to choose what that is. And we all have that soul instinct within us, so we will know that. There's a quote, you know what you need to do, you're just not doing it. And sometimes, if I'm in this kind of back and forth feeling of, like, oh, one part of me wants to do this, but one part of me thinks it's wrong, or one part of me wants a different path, I just ask myself that question. If I already know what I should do, but I'm just not doing it, what is that? Do I actually know that I should be doing, but I'm clouding it behind a question of mystery or other reasons or justifications? And so the answer for this could be different for every person, because everyone is on a different journey. As I was saying, it's everything is going to be part of the journey. That's not going to, be punished or lead you to some to a bad place, let's say, or lead you to a place that's unsurvivable, like, that you can't get back from necessarily. However, how long do you want your journey to be? How painful do you want your journey to be? How many scars do you want to get along the journey? Right? Because our choices give us that ability, and we can lead ourselves to very dark places, right? We can just waste, like, a year, whatever it is. So looking at the overall path of where you're going is very helpful in this situation. I think that we shouldn't, I've wasted a lot of time as well personally, of, like, getting caught up in justifications that cover over the simple spiritual truth that, no, if you are doing something unaligned from your manifestation, it is not going to move you towards your manifestation. If you are doing something that, it's even worse if you really know that it's unaligned, then the vibration of doing something that you know you shouldn't do, versus a child touching a hot stove, is very different vibration. So again, it's not that you're going to be punished, like, you should have known better, but the vibration of going on that date with this guy, even though really you've been there before, you know your soul is not craving for that type of connection, but you go and do it anyway to get instant gratification, or because to avoid some sort of pain of being lonely, or whatever reason you do it, that is a very different vibration of actually not knowing. So just be honest with yourself as well, and ask yourself again, what do I know that I should do, but I'm just not doing it? And so if you continue ahead with that anyway, which we do a lot of times, because the reasons that we're not doing it, even though we know we should, are very valid and they might be painful. It might be very painful to sit at home that night. It might be very painful to be a certain amount of time with no partner. It might be very painful for you to turn down this terrible work that you don't want to do, to follow your business when you have some fears around like money security, you know, whatever it is. If it was easy again, everyone would do it. So it's not always going to be easy. But we have to admit the fact that it will hold us back from our manifestations if we go ahead and take those instant gratifications and do things that we know are not aligned. If you've been there before, if some things are coming to mind, which I mean, if you're human, they probably are. You've probably done that at some point in life, because this is how our physical being is programmed. This is how we're made up. This is how it happens. So I want you to strip away any idea again of the good and the bad, which is going to create a load of guilt and a load of shame, which is going to now make this one incident, which was unaligned. It's like you took one step back from a manifestation. Now you get guilty about it. You took two steps back. Now you feel like the universe is punishing you, three steps back. Now you feel like you need to do all this healing work to overcome this, four steps back, you know? Whereas, okay, you took one step back. It doesn't mean anything. Who cares? So what? You can take two steps forward tomorrow. Go and like set an intention with the universe. Go and like call your energy back, clear your energy field, do a cleansing, you know, whatever. And bam, you're back on an even playing field. The great thing is that like the universe is very like systematic, it's very logical. It doesn't have this morality of like the way that we see it, the way that we see morality as you know, shameful if you do something wrong, and at least this punishment and reward system of our human emotions. The soul and higher energies are actually very systematic. So I think that that is a helpful thing to remember as well. Just to sum up this question, because I can see I'm not going to get through many questions because I always end up going off, you know, off the beaten track. But to sum up, if temptations are coming up, ask yourself which part is being tempted by it, and do you want to follow that? Ask yourself, what do you know that you should do, but you're just not doing it? Remove any guilt or shame of judgment. And the last point I want to add on here is, if you know you're going to do it, remember, everything is about the vibration, right? And if you know you're going to do this, if you already know that you're going to take the temptation, if you already know you're going to take that other job, you're going to, you know, go and sleep with this guy, then do it with the best, highest consciousness. Do it fully. Do it without second guessing. Do it without fear of damaging your manifestation. Do it fully and indulge in it and savor every moment. Be present with it. Feel how it feels in your body. Do it with the most enlightened consciousness to have the least effect on your manifestation. And it's also going to lead you, as you said, is it part of the journey? It may be part of the journey. We don't know what your soul lesson is, right? We don't have the right or the entitlement to have all the answers right now. You have to earn those answers. And maybe there's still like another 3 months or another three rotations of a pattern or whatever that you need to get through it. The more that you indulge in it and you go in it fully rather than half and half, the quicker that your body's going to be able to absorb the lesson. Maybe when you go and you be as present as possible and you really indulge it, you're like, I don't enjoy it as much anymore. I don't need it anymore. And there's nothing more tempting than a forbidden fruit. So take the forbidden fruits off the table and maybe you just won't eat them. Okay, another question. I find it hard to visualize. I feel like I want to see it with my eyes, but the picture just doesn't come. So visualization is obviously a great manifestation method. If you feel like you struggle to visualize, there are a lot of exercises that you can do to improve your visualization ability. Make sure that you're realizing that it is a skill, and some people have certain skills that come really easy to them naturally, and some people have to work on it. But it's not this kind of like, oh, can you roll your tongue? Like, you either can do it or you can't do it, you know? It's something that you can improve on. So, a couple really quick examples is you can take an object, let's say, for example, an apple. Take an apple and just study this apple, take a mental picture of it, try to take in every detail of the color, the texture, the shape, and then close your eyes, set a timer for 20 seconds, and try to recreate that image in your mind. If there are details that are missing, if it becomes blurry, if you lose the image, then just open your eyes again, after the 20 seconds. If you can, or before, if you really need to just recapture what that looks like. And then as you go along, as you continue practicing that, hopefully every day, you know, just if you think about this, it's like that's 20 seconds, right? Like, you can do that. Doing this every day, you get to start to increase your time of how long you are visualizing for. So, you know, then go up to 40 seconds, then up to 60 seconds, then up to 1 minute 20, and begin to be able to hold that vision in your mind for longer. Then a progression on from there is you now are being able to recall an image in your mind. So then from there, what's really going to bring this to life is imagining a furthering of that picture. So this is where the imagination really comes into play. And so that apple, that same apple, you're now going to imagine, once you've got the image in your mind, yourself picking it up and taking a bite out of this apple. And so this opens up a whole new layer of mental creation and mental rehearsal, because now this is an image that, again, you know, because you know what it looks like for a human to eat, to pick up an apple and take a bite out of an apple, and you know what you look like. And so that's how we're able to put it together. The human mind actually cannot imagine in the mind's eye anything that you have not seen before. It's like, try to imagine a shape that you've never seen before, or try to imagine a color that you've never seen before. And what you'll notice is your brain has incredible power to create and to shift and to illustrate with the building blocks that it has. But all of those shapes that you'll be creating in your mind right now are built off of other shapes that you have seen at some point. And I find that fascinating. But anyway, so you're imagining yourself picking up this apple. It's something that you are recalling based off older stored images, but it is also something that you didn't just watch a video of you taking a bite of this apple. So you are actually now starting to pull together your own images, create your own vision. And so this is why it's going to become really useful for manifesting. The other layer of this that's going to be really amazing for manifesting is now you get to see the image of you biting into the apple, and now taste in your mouth what it tastes like. Now feel that apple in your hand. Now feel what the ground feels like underneath your feet, wherever you're standing while you're holding that apple. And what's the temperature like around you? What does the air feel like? And what's the sounds like? So you get to start to incorporate all of your other senses. Now, I think it's really important to know that your mind's eye is not your eyes. So you're not going to see the apple the same way that you see it in front of you on the table. And that's okay. And everyone also experiences things differently, like as we're like learning more and more about now with a lot of research and also people sharing their experiences about neurodivergency and how everyone's mind works so differently. You know, some of us have an internal dialogue, some of us see things in pictures, all these different things, right? So what you're going to do with this exercise is get really accustomed to or get really curious about how is your mind seeing things? Where do you see it? Is it really easy for you to see the picture, but you can't feel what emotion that juicy apple would make you feel? Is it really easy for you to imagine like the taste, but you can't see a picture of it? And so just start getting curious about this, and whatever it is you're going to be able to, one, improve all aspects of it, and two, lean into whatever area is your strongest area, because a lot of times you're gonna do a lot better off of just leaning into what you're born for, what your body's telling you to do. If you are an amazing, are just amazing with numbers, people study and they just still can't do it as good as you, then you go and choose a career in dance. It's gonna be a very painful journey because there are other people who will not try as hard as you in that dance class, and they will just be better than you because that's what they are born for. This is what I mean about my side tracking. Anyway, so this visualization exercise, bring in the other senses and notice what you're best at, improve at the other areas, and then you can start to continue applying that to the visions that you want to manifest. Lean into what is easiest for you, and remember, it's not going to be exactly the same. It's you're not going to have the apple in your mouth. That's okay. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. And remember, your mind is the biggest decider of if it worked or if it didn't work. Okay, so the more that you tell yourself that it's working, even if it's not working, you telling yourself that it's working is going to lead you to the breakthrough that makes it work. It's going to lead you to like finding the perfect book about how to visualize that's going to make you able to do it, or the manifestation coming in a different way. But if you put in that effort, and if you put in your trust and your certainty, your energy of certainty into the exercise, you cannot lose. You cannot lose. Last point on this is, I think a really good book that describes this is Bob Proctor's book, which the name is eluding me right now, but I'll leave it in the show notes. It's very famous. Where he talks about what the mind's eye actually is and how we actually, how are we, you were born rich. That's the book that I mean. You were born rich talks about how to actually imagine your imagination, what to see your mind as, and gives you some tools for that if you, struggle with it. For me, I kind of see like when I close my eyes, it's I kind of imagine it like a giant blackboard or like a giant black computer screen, and I now get to load up whatever image I want. And so that's kind of what works for me on understanding like where am I going to see this image that I'm visualizing. Also, the reason why visualization is so powerful is because it's mental rehearsal. So if you're still working on your visualization skills, what are other ways that you can mentally rehearse what you're doing? That's what, for example, let's say you're manifesting a house, people will tell you to go and walk around the house. So if you can't visualize a house in your mind, you know, start off by getting as close as you can. How else can you mentally rehearse it? Can you like write out the words and reread what you would be saying as you were buying the house? If you're not getting the pictures and the pictures are not creating any feelings for you right now, then explore, like figure it out, you know. There's 100 million different ways that you can do everything, so there's really no excuses. Okay, last little question to wrap up today. Let's do how to not struggle about money when you're constantly living day to day. So I did a TikTok recently that was just inviting you to make a vow with me, basically saying, if you have survived every day when you didn't know how you were going to pay for your life, if you have survived every month where you didn't know where that money for your bills was going to come from, then the past evidence is telling us you are going to continue to survive. So you are here because you're listening to a manifestation podcast. I think you have some sort of like knowledge about manifestation or spirituality or energy. So is worrying about money going to improve your financial situation or going to decrease your financial situation? What's the first answer that comes to your mind? Now, there'll be some people who say, yes, worrying is going to improve my financial situation, I think, because all those times when I survived before, and maybe this is the reason why you can't let go of it as well, is because all the times that you survived before, you were worried, and that was your strategy. And so now you're thinking that the worry is what got you there. You know, I was worried and I took on that extra job, and then like I did this extra deal, but then these two clients came out of nowhere, or whatever it is. And so it kind of feels like if you weren't worrying, you would be being irresponsible. It kind of feels like if you weren't worrying, what if it wouldn't be like all those other times when you managed to get by and you could provide? And this time you actually just everything falls apart and the worst things you can imagine come to life, right? But what I want to tell you is all those past times, you survived and got by despite the fact that you were lowering your energy with worry and that you were attracting more negative financial situations with worry. But you got by despite that. So imagine where you could be if your mindset was on point as well. The second thing is that you need to know again that, as I said, manifestation is about uncovering the truth, the most truest truths. So if you are trying to not worry by telling yourself lies, I don't think that this is going to be an effective strategy. And this is where some manifestation advice might have caused some issues for you before, or might have like not being able to stick with you. So if you The way that our beliefs work is that your brain is very, very intelligent. Like your subconscious is very, very, very intelligent. So if you tell your subconscious, now there's a whole other topic of like when this would become useful and how you can use this, but we're talking about a situation right now where you are feeling worried. You are having stress symptoms come up. So your nervous system is probably dysregulated, all of these things. And you want to change your belief set around something. If you now tell yourself, I am rich. While your body is filled with this emotion of worry, of, you know, needing to provide for your kids or of like wanting to like pay your rent and not have to move back with your parents, whatever it is, your brain is not going to accept that. When your brain doesn't accept that, you're creating less, you're distancing the relationship between yourself rather than bringing yourself closer to yourself, which is what we want. Because how do you feel about people that lie to you? Probably not great. And secondly, to prove this point, I heard the best example ever from Stephen Bartlett on one of his interviews, which was that the way that belief works is that if I held a gun to the head of someone who you care about very deeply and told you, you must believe right now that I am Jesus Christ, you still wouldn't be able to do it, even with everything on the line. So is your subconscious going to accept and believe that you have $1 million in the bank right now? It's probably not. So, what is true? What are you in control of? Where can you find peace? These are going to be great affirmations to ground you in. So, belief-wise, about what you can believe about money, look for the beliefs that you can really get on board with because they are true. For example, maybe it is so possible that you are going to be getting more and more money every month from this moment on. It is so possible that you can make a load of money in your new business. It is so possible and safe for you to accept an abundance of money from new sources. These things might feel more true for you. And so they're going to be able to, they're not going to create so much resistance when you try to affirm them. Secondly, beyond that, what's going to be really important is your body. Now, if your body is in a state of stress, then it's going to be very difficult to change your thought patterns and what you're saying to yourself. So you really want to make sure you're incorporating mind, body, and soul into how you could just do one little thing every day for each of those things, and it's gonna be the world of difference. So just say one of those for your mind. Say one new affirmation that is true and that feels true and that your body can accept. For your body, you want to do one action step each day that's going to regulate your nervous system. And so type in simple ways to regulate your nervous system if you're not aware of what they might be. But some examples would be to go for a walk, to go onto YouTube and type in guided breath work, do a breath work exercise. Any movement of your body, any nervous system regulation steps that you can do for your body. And then your soul. This is when you want to connect into my new favorite saying. We got to go quantum with this, okay? So day to day, we're not going to lie to ourselves. You might not be in the financial position you want, all of this on a quantum level. On a quantum level, none of this really matters. On a quantum level, even if the worst things in the world happen to you right now, your soul is still abundant. Your soul still has all the potential. Your soul is not judging it. Your soul is not worried. Your soul is zoomed out so far that this problem is not even a fraction of a dot, right? So if you can tap into that, even just for a little moment in the day, that's going to start to bring in some of that quantum power so that you cannot, so you can kind of elevate yourself out of that heavy, thick, slow density of the day-to-day life of, how time takes. Well, does it make sense? Because I've only ever made 1,500 in 30 days time before. So how am I going to now suddenly make 20,000 in 30 days time? All of these logistical day-to-day human problems, you're going to start to elevate yourself out of that. So the ways that you can do this is with kind of like more quantum-y spiritual meditation stuff, like Joe Dispenza's meditations, which are going to take you into that quantum aspect. You can also do this really simply by speaking to the universe, speaking to God, speaking to Creator, asking to bring in the divine energy of the universe to this area that you feel lack in. Fill this lack with God energy. Fill this lack with universe energy. You can do this also. Access this soul spiritual realm by setting the intention to do that in the morning, to access your quantum possibilities, to access your soul's knowledge, to imagine yourself zooming all the way out of this body, out of this life, out of being a person who's on earth. You don't have a body, you're not a person, you're just pure energy. What would you think about this problem now? And last thing I want to say is control and anxiety or worry go hand in hand. The more that you try to control the situation, control how you feel about the situation, and control the emotions and control all these things, the more anxious you're going to feel. When you accept the worst case scenario, you unleash your potential to manifest the best case scenario. When you accept the worst case scenario, and I mean the thing that you're thinking, like, okay, I could accept if it didn't go well this month with money, but like, no, I couldn't accept that other thing. That other thing that it would lead to 10 steps down the road, no, I couldn't accept that. If when you accept that nothing can touch you because you are literally a divine soul, when you accept your power, when you accept that no external circumstance matters, because the only control you need is your ability to trust in yourself and to trust in the universe, then that worry becomes a Totally, it becomes something that you could see and you can touch and you can use to push you forward if you want to, but it's a choice. You get to choose it. You are not being controlled by a ego emotion anymore. And when you touch on this, when you touch these three aspects, mind, body, soul, then I want you to go ahead and take full action, because action is a great remedy for fear. So do the mind steps, do the body steps, do the soul steps, and then go and take the fullest action that you can. Take all the action that you can and release. It's always that balance of I'm doing what's smart, I'm doing the logical thing, I'm preparing, I'm sorting out my financial situation, I'm looking at the numbers, I'm looking at my bank account, I'm making these money moves, I'm working on the business, whatever it is you're doing. I'm applying for five new jobs that are higher paid, whatever action steps that you're doing, and you're releasing on a quantum level of knowing that none of it matters. Your safety doesn't come from any job. Your safety doesn't come from a bank account. Your safety doesn't come from any piece of paper that anyone could give you on a human, on a in this like human game that we're playing. That balance is gonna be the sweet spot. Always look for the balance point, right? If you're in one side, if you're only looking at what's happening physically, or you're only looking at what's happening spiritually, if you're trying to close your eyes from any aspect of the truth, right, then you're going to be blocked. You're not going to be living at your full potential. So be wary as well that a lot of teachers and a lot of very great like figures, or I don't know how to call it, like social media people or book writers, authors, whatever, a lot of times they are amazingly honed into one aspect of something. Let's take Joe Dispenza, for example, who is going to take you in this gorgeous quantum journey where nothing's real and nothing matters and all of this. And also, there's obviously use cases where he works a lot with illnesses, right? So, in that case, for example, the person is way too weighed down in the physical body. And we know that because they have a physical illness. And that's why they're overcorrected into physicality. And so his extreme spirituality, not like extreme, but I mean the total focus onto spirituality, is what's going to be the balance point for them. However, if you are not that way, if you're already super focused on spirituality, and then you go and do a load of Joe Dispenza stuff, and you're not doing anything to ground yourself, and you're starting to avoid looking at the physical. You're not looking at your bank account. You're not connecting with other humans. You're not having a grounding practice, whatever it is. Then you're probably going to get overcorrected and start to be way ungrounded and way up. Up, 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 which is like something that I've seen happen with one of my clients as well, and then it can cause anxiety and all these different things, and spiritual psychosis is a very common thing. And obviously the other way around, we see it all the time of these people who are like way too in the physical and everything's a problem, and you don't have any bigger vision and you can't manifest yourself forward because you're just so weighed down into the time and the space, right? So just make sure that you're keeping your discernment on of looking at where are you falling on the scale? Where are you needing to focus? And anytime you see somebody who's all in on one side, not like take that as not something that you want to switch your life to, but as something that you want to add into your life on a with a great level, like on a level playing field, if you know what I mean. Okay, I'm going to wrap that up because it seems I have lost my ability to speak, but I hope that this was helpful for you. There's so many intricate questions that I get in DMs that I'm not always able to get back to, or just really interesting questions that come up from my clients that I want to, that I know a lot of other people would really benefit from hearing. So that's why I think I'm going to start throwing in a few of these Q&A videos. Please let me know over on Instagram DMs if you thought this was helpful, or if you have any other questions that you would like me to answer next time. Please drop me a review on this podcast if any of these questions were helpful to you at all. And I would love to see you over on Instagram as well if you have any feedback. Other than that, I hope you have a beautiful day, and I will see you in the next podcast.